You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome for another eccentric episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob. I'm very curious to know what's eccentric about it, but that's going to be fun. This is episode 941. Thank you for joining us.
I'll keep you on your toes. Don't worry.
Clearly. Thank you. Yeah, we're really glad that you're with us. Hope you're having a great day. And hope we can bring you a lot of value today.
Yeah, definitely hope we can bring you a lot of value, as always. And if you want even more value, organization, and resources, then you've got to become a member. Just go to droneu.education and check it out today.
Hello, this is Dan Peters from Kansas City, Missouri. I really want to thank you guys for all you do for the drone world. My question is pretty simple. Why haven't you spent more time talking about using FPV mode for drones and doing, say, real estate shots, any kind of videography or photography? What are the advantages and disadvantages, and why haven't you talked about using that kind of mode in doing that kind of drone work? Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Dan. Great question. I've got to say, I don't think that's one that we've had, at least not in a long, long time. But it is curious. Why would we not use FPV mode more? It seems like having that perspective of what you're filming could be a really good thing.
You know, I think it's a really interesting question, because I would say that most people could agree that throughout the evolution of TV, film, and production, that typically most of the aerial shots that we have seen from early movies and television to progressing through the 70s and 80s and into the 90s and into the 00s and to the current day, that it seems like there's been a very clear linear regression of smoothness in these shots over time. Meaning, you know, the shots should be smoother, they should be controlled so they're focused on a fixed subject. For example, you know, in the very beginning days, we would have these beautiful aerials, let's say, of Hawaii, for example, and it would be a very big, wide establishing shot. Use the example of Magnum PI from back in the 80s, the real Magnum PI. Not the fake one that they have
not
now.
Not the new fake one, yeah.
God, that's a terrible show.
Anyway, I won't even watch it.
Anyway, besides, Magnum PI was such a badass, and like now he's not. Like he's like a millennial, like little, never mind, I'm not going to go with that. Anyway, long story short, that shot has evolved from this wide aerial to now we're flying feet over the water, we're showcasing our credits, and then we elevate and tilt the camera down to reveal a car that's about to enter a tunnel, and then essentially we transition into the car as the car goes into the tunnel, and we show the ground shot of the car itself, right? You see it in Jurassic Park, you see it in a lot of other, I'm thinking of a Bond movie, and I can't remember which one it was, but this shot specifically. I think it's fair to say, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, a linear evolution of fluidity in shots. Would you agree?
I would agree, yeah. It's the desire to improve, get better, give people what they want.
Agreed, 100%.
Right? Standards raise.
I would say that another piece of evidence in this is that if we look at most of the drones, the only drones that really offer an FPV experience or FPV mode are the lower-end drones like the Spark. When you get the Spark, even when you're flying in sport mode, FPV just kind of turns on automatically. And that being said, I understand the usage of FPV mode when you're trying to get a cinematic shot of what it would look like to have a perspective of an airplane or an aircraft. Like, for example, if I want to show a cool shot of diving into a canyon and then coming up through the canyon underneath a bridge and flying through, yes, having FPV mode would make that look more aggressive and cool. So what is FPV mode, if a lot of you aren't tracking or following along? Essentially, imagine that on a gimbal, we're looking through the camera, and with FPV mode, our roll stability is essentially turned off, right? So that means that as the vehicle rolls left or right, so remember that's a lateral motion left or right, right? Our camera would roll with the vehicle, meaning your horizon line is no longer flat. It ends up becoming very angular, right? This makes it look like you're riding in a plane, right? Because the horizon line changes when you ride in a plane. while your eyes could act like a gimbal for some minute parts, chances are your horizon line will change too. That's what FPV mode does. FPV mode allows us to have that more engaging first perspective look of what it would look like from an aircraft. And while I can understand that look would be cool in certain military shoots or productions that are trying to get that look, oftentimes people are more impressed and have an easier time to follow a smooth shot. They're able to more understand what's going on, and they also don't have that woozy or sick feeling to their stomach. This is actually a huge problem with the development of VR roller coasters, with 3D roller coasters, because the eye essentially is seeing things at 90 frames a second, right? And when we have 60 frames per second or 30 frames per second of three-dimensional things being portrayed in front of us, it can make people sick to their stomach.
Often does, I think.
Myself included.
Yeah, there you go.
So that being said, this FPV nature, like 3D, can cause a problem with your audience where they don't want to watch the footage. And any time that you have someone not wanting to watch your footage because of how it makes them feel, you have failed as a producer and a director. So in my eyes, the linear kind of evolution of smooth and fluid shots is a natural progression for the convenience of the viewer. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I mean, you want to put them in a position where they can relax and sort of take in and enjoy and hopefully desire, if you're selling a house, for example, what you're presenting to them, not kind of be shifted away from what you're trying to get them to be focused on.
True.
Which is what sounds like would happen.
True.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, I think the reason why you're not seeing a lot of people using FPV mode is because they don't see the value. Maybe they also don't want to perceive as the first person view of an airplane. I think in action sports, this is becoming an even bigger issue as a lot of FPV guys are getting hired to film, but they're using crazy techniques to stabilize the footage. Mm. Like, what is it called? Real steady, but it's like real of a film, not like real, like it's real.
Huh.
Perception. That's how it's spelled.
Interesting.
And in fact, I was just talking to Peter about this because I want to develop a racing drone that can hold a very specific camera at very high speeds with very high acceleration to try to take my action sports game to the next level. Yeah.
So the action sports person is going to have to try to keep up with you.
Yes. it's going to be really hard.
Interesting.
So, no, it's just that they really, I'm just seeing this evolution of producers and directors really wanting a certain shot.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that evolution play out with drifting. And all the drifters, though, hate, absolutely cannot stand when the drone pulls a 180 or backflips out of the shot to get clear of something that they're about to hit or veers hard right. I'm hearing over and over again from even people who are on the monster team. They're like, I love the shot that an FPV racer can show when I'm drifting through a turn, but I cannot stand the hardcore abrupt movements of the camera. And so there's this like need developing. Yeah, it does make it unwatchable 100%. Yeah. So I'm just saying that there's this need evolving.
Interesting. I also, if you can go that fast, you could do cool things like, you've seen the extreme skiers that will hit, I don't know, 100 miles an hour going down the mountain.
Yeah.
Stuff like that you could capture the entire way down with them. See, of course, I guess you could wear a GoPro and capture it that way, but it's a different perspective.
100%. And see, this is the problem, Rob, because in the United States, we're legally limited to 100 miles an hour. And while that is a waivable thing, we could waive, performance limits.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard because in order to create a drone that can carry a 3-pound payload at 100 miles an hour, you're really creating a drone that has a payload of 5 pounds at 200 miles an hour.
It's got a jet engine on it.
Well, it's got to be able to accelerate to 100, maintain 100, not go over 100, and be able to carry a payload at 100 with a 15 knot headwind.
Yeah.
So it's like, create this massively powerful thing, but limit it to so it won't go over 100 miles an hour. Ford's like, we've already done this. We call it an ECM, engine control module. Thank you. Figured it out.
True.
But anyway.
But what you're describing is quite an engineering issue.
Yep, but I've got one of the best drone engineers on the planet working on it. Hee hee hee.
Very cool.
Anyway, Peter, you know who you are. And everyone else, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing, what we could do better, and how we can help you. If we have helped you, maybe pay it forward and help us by sharing the show with someone else or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, wherever you see the show. Thank you again, as always. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.